Class 1 Direct on Stray FM's Food and Drink Show.
On the run-up to Christmas and with Christmas meals to prepare, there is a lot to think about, and you might be in need of a bit of advice this Christmas on how to prepare your meal. So I have come to meet Raya from Class 1 Direct. Morning, Raya.
Hi, good morning, Ben.
Raya, where have you brought me and what are we going to learn here?
So this morning we're going to visit several of the places that we supply to, and to begin with we've come to the Red Lion at Burnsall to meet Charlie and to learn about how to cook the perfect turkey for your Christmas dinner.
Brilliant, which means that you must be Charlie. Hi, Charlie. So what is involved with the perfect turkey? I suppose we should start really with preparation. How do you prepare to cook the perfect turkey?
Well, we always take our turkeys out the night before, leave them to come up to room temperature overnight, grease them with butter so that it gets the skin nice and crispy and it gives it a really good flavour.
So then on the day itself, do you throw it in the oven and go, or is there more to be done?
Pretty much in the oven, in a big tray, so it catches all the juices. Cook it low temperature and for slow time. So for us, we use big turkeys. We're using maybe 12, 13 kilo turkeys. We do 130 degrees for 3 hours, and we found that that's perfect for our turkey. I would definitely say 130 degrees is a good temperature to cook the bird, because it gives it nice and slow cooking, keep all the moisture within it.
So if you've got relatives running late on the day and people arriving late, is it okay to leave your turkey out of the oven a bit? Do you need it cooked bang on time, ready to serve?
We leave ours to rest for a couple of hours sometimes. The longer it rests, the better it is. We have a trick. We take the turkey off the bone and we wrap everything in cling film, and it keeps all the moisture within it. So if you were going to have to hold it, a good idea would be to take the breasts off and wrap them in cling film and leave it to rest. And that does keep a nice, juicy, succulent turkey.
So with regards to choosing the right turkey, how are you going to make sure that the turkey you're getting is good to begin with?
Well, we use a local farmer for most of our turkeys. So if you're buying your turkey in the supermarket, the one piece of advice I could give is that you look for free range. The better the turkey's been looked after, the better the product is, the better the meat is.
Well, that sounds incredible and has made me very hungry. Charlie, thank you very much for talking to us. And hopefully I will get to try some of the turkey a bit later this year. As if by magic, using the magic of radio, Raya, you and I have now moved. Where are we now?
So, Ben, we're now at the Fountain at Linton with the head chef, Toby, and he is going to tell us all about preparing the vegetables to go with your Christmas dinner. And the Fountain are a really good customer of Class 1, so we're looking forward to hearing how they will prepare those for us.
Hi, Toby. So what is involved with the perfect vegetables then? How are people going to make sure on Christmas Day they've absolutely nailed the veg?
I think you've got to be very careful. A big one at Christmas is sprouts, isn't it? And I think it's so easy to overcook them. I think recently there's been a bit of a trend of moving over to sliced sprouts, and that's a lot easier to do, and you can get them ready-made, and that's a lot quicker to do.
So what are you going to mix in with the sprouts? Is it just going to be the sprouts on their own, or...?
I think the best way to go is probably the lard ones that you can get, a nice bit of pancetta maybe, something like that, a bit of a crispy thing to go down with. That would be really nice.
Oh, that does sound perfect. And what about the all-important roast potatoes?
The roast potatoes, oof, it's just a tricky one. There's so many different ways. I personally believe in the old-school boil routine and shake them off when they're parboiled and then crisp them up in some nice duck fat and make sure you get a lot of flavour in there.
And what other veg are you recommending on your Christmas plate then?
I'm a lover of the old red cabbage. I think braised red cabbage is always really nice on there. You know, nice bit of red wine and some red currant jelly in there, and nice sticky red cabbage. And then also like the carrot and swede, you know, a nice bit of seasonal mash there and there as well.
Perfect. So if you don't want to spend the whole day in the kitchen preparing all of this veg, what can you do to make things easy for yourself on the madness that is Christmas Day?
I mean, there's a lot of things with veg that you can do day in advance. And I mean, obviously, like, you can get your sprouts in, and if they're not ready to cook, you can slice them down. They can stay in the fridge overnight. You could even boil your roast potatoes and get them just sat in the fridge and just do them straight out of the fridge in the morning, straight into that pan of hot duck oil, and get them really crispy and nice.
So if you're someone who's not quite got the timings of a roast down, which vegetables sort of need to be ready bang on time for the meal, and which ones can you let sit for a bit once they're done?
I mean, the roast potatoes, you can have them done and just flash them back through. That's not really a big problem. There are things that need to be done on time, like if you're going to saute your sprouts down like that with the bacon, and that needs to be done very last minute and straight down and onto the plate as they go out.
And what about making sure you've got the right fruit and veg? What are you looking for when you're looking for your produce?
I think the thing for us is, like, we're really lucky with using Class 1, that although their veg is always on point and there's never really a problem for that, but when you're out, if you're buying it for yourself, you need to be looking at them, touching them and feeling them. You can tell by the smell and the rigidity of the product whether it's okay or not.
Toby, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So now we're at the final stop on our tour of learning to make the perfect Christmas meal. Raya, where are we this time?
We're now at the Gamekeepers at Threshfield, and we're meeting Ashley, the head chef, and he's going to tell us about a wonderful dessert that I have just tried. So it was, yeah, delicious.
So it already comes well reviewed. Ashley, this is your dessert. Can you tell us a bit more about it?
Right, it's a baked American cheesecake, but with mincemeat going through it, so it's sort of a festive cheesecake, really. It was a couple of years ago at a previous restaurant that I made this, and it sold very well, so and I thought I'd put it on the menu here this season.
Oh, that sounds perfect. That's the perfect Christmas Day thing, isn't it? A sort of cross between mince pies and a bit of cheesecake for anyone that's into their puddings. So something I've noticed probably this Christmas for the first time is that there are loads of different variations on mincemeat. Some have a very fruity one, some I've seen salted caramel mincemeat this year. What mincemeat have you gone with for this?
This is just a traditional mincemeat at the moment. I've got this from Class 1.
So while we've been here sampling this delightful mincemeat cheesecake, Joe Lodge from Class 1 has been away compiling the perfect post-pudding treat.
Thanks, Ben. So we've brought us to the Courtyard Dairy, which is just outside Settle, to meet a man that knows everything about cheese, and that's Andy. Hello, Andy. How are you doing?
Not so bad, thanks. Not so bad.
You're ready for Christmas?
Well, it's getting to our silly season, yeah. That's when people come get proper traditional cheeses. So, yeah, the cheese is here. It's ready to go. We're just waiting for people to come in the last couple of weeks and fill up their fridges.
Superb. And what would you say was a perfect cheese board for Christmas Day?
Well, I was just speaking to somebody about just having maybe two or three cheeses. I think sometimes people go overboard, and you can get, if you get two or three really, really good ones that stand out, you can show off them rather than having seven little tiny bits that are drying out. So for me, the classic would be like a hard, a soft, and a blue. I would probably go something like the Baron Bargo, which is an unpasteurised British breed, just fabulous at the moment. Blue-wise, we've got this cheese called Youngbuck, which is like a Stilton style, that's slightly moister and richer and creamier. And then hard. For me, I know we're in Yorkshire, but something like a good old traditional Kirkham's Lancashire, because it's got that sharpness to it, which kind of just comes through quite nice and fresh.
Superb. And are you open with the cafe all over Christmas?
Yeah, we're open all the way through. So, yeah, Class 1 supply all our fresh produce, and they do a fantastic job at it, and they're supplying us right up until the day before Christmas Eve. So we're open to Christmas Eve. We're still sending out cheese toasties and hot raclette Christmas Eve, and then back open on the 27th, and we get our next fresh load.
Superb, Andy. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
cheers.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Joe. Don't forget, if you're a business owner looking for a great supply of fresh fruit and veg, dried goods and dairy goods, you can find Class 1 on Twitter at Class 1 Direct or visit their website on class1direct.com.
Class 1 Direct on Stray FM's Food and Drink Show.